T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome, 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 my friends, to another exciting edition of the KMOX Auto Show. That's right, Saturday at your service. All the experts here helping you out today. The auto show is no different, my friends. That's right. You know what time it is? It's time for audience participation. That's right, audience participation. 314-436-7900. 1-800-925-1120. Those are the phone numbers you want to get on today. We got plenty of time for open phone lines today. We're going all the way till 7 o'clock tonight. That's right, 7 o'clock, 5 to 7, two big hours of the auto show. We've got all sorts of stuff to talk about and some great guests coming up, but I'm always have time for your phone calls, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. My name's Greg Damon, the host of the KMOX Auto Show. And we invite you to join us here on the program. If you're a little shy, you say, hey, guess what there, Uncle Greg? I don't necessarily want to call you. You can also email me. That's kmoxautoguy@gmail.com. kmoxautoguy@gmail.com. But better yet, join us on the program, 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. That is the numbers. If you want to get on, we'll answer any question you do have in the wacky world of automotive or heck, you know what? I'll just throw it out there. We'll answer anything today. That's right. I feel like the Shell Answer Man today. We're gonna answer anything you want. 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. A couple things that we want to talk about. If you remember last week on the show, we kind of talked about your holiday trips. If you've had any memorable holiday trips, you know, I had my dad on last week. We talked about loading up the family truckster and driving up to our hometown, seeing our grandparents. If you have any great trips like that you want to reminisce about or what happened in the car, we'd like to hear about it. Also, we're still doing, kind of started this last week. If you remember, you know, around Christmas time, you always see that commercial where the people come downstairs and they're like, oh, well, your present's outside. And they go outside and there's a brand new car with a big red bow on it. So what I want to know is what kind of car would you want if Santa brought you a car and put it underneath the Christmas tree? What kind of car would you want? You can have any car you want. It doesn't matter. New, old, it doesn't matter. Any kind. We're kind of taking a list and checking it twice here and seeing what kind of cars we come up with. Last week we came up with a 34 Ford 5-window coupe, 65 Chevelle 4-speed. That'd be mine. A 2000 BMW 318 CI, 67 Camaro RS, a 70 Plymouth Superbird, a 68 Olds 88. We have the Batmobile, a Tesla, a 63 Impala SS, a Shelby, a 38 Lincoln V12, and a 29 Locomobile. So that's kind of our list right now. We're going to try to keep this going all the way through Christmas. And if you have a car that you'd like to know that, you know, say, hey, this is it. This is the car I want that you want Santa to bring underneath the tree. We will take that as well. So that's what we're doing here today on the KMOX Auto Show. All sorts of stuff to get to. 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. Those are the phone numbers. Tell you what, we have a couple folks on hold. So let's go right to the phones right now. Let's go ahead and how about we talk to Bill. Hi, Bill. You're up next on, or I guess, actually, let me back that up. Bill, you got the pole position today here on the KMOX Auto Show.
Hey, is this Greg?
It sure is.
How you doing, my man? Hey, see, I was just wondering the difference between the multi-port fuel injection that's currently available, and now they're switching to the direct fuel injection. You know, I don't understand. I hear they have a lot of problems with the valves loading up. But anyways, my favorite car would be a 72 Datsun 280Z. That's what I want under my
tree. Okay, so let me ask you, is it a 2+2 or just a regular two-seater?
It would be the two-seater.
Okay, so what year was it?
It would be a 72 Datsun.
Okay, 72 Datsun.
The 240Z.
Well, that'd be a 280, wouldn't it, in 72?
72 would be still the 240.
240, okay. 240Z. All right, I got that down. And you just want two-seater, not the 2+2.
They want the two-seater, 72-240. Well, they introduced them in 70. Then they went to the fuel injection in 76, I believe, when they introduced the 280.
Right. Well, to answer your question about the fuel injectors, I'll just kind of make this really as simple as possible without getting too technical. So the older style fuel injectors actually went into the intake, all right? And that's where basically what happened is the cam sensor would signal it, and it would shoot fuel into the intake. Some of them actually, all of them shot at one time. Some of them would pulse different sides. So the air comes in, the fuel injector turns on, mixes with the fuel, the valve opens, it goes in the cylinder, and then it makes the combustion, okay? So now what we use is a direct injected, and instead of that injector being in the intake, it's actually in the cylinder itself, below the valve. Okay?
Gotcha.
So now what happens is that air comes in, the valve opens, now we have that cool fuel being pushed in at extremely high pressure. It's also at high pressure now, so it's extremely high pressure, and then the explosion happens inside. So there is a whole issue, though, you're exactly right, with valves carboning up on these cars. We've talked about air induction cleaning here on the show extensively. That's where any fuel-injected engine has a byproduct of, like, it looks like fireplace soot. We call it coking. It gets all over the throttle body, the intake, goes on the back of the intake valves, the top of the pistons. So with the direct injected, we're having issues with the valves actually getting a lot more carboned up. And sometimes on some vehicles, we have to take the intake off and actually clean the valves themselves instead of having chemicals to be able to burn some of that stuff off.
Now, is this on all new General Motors cars?
Well, it's not only on General Motors. There's almost every manufacturer is going to some type of engine like this. It saves fuel and lowers the emissions. That's why they're doing this. So,
well, you know, how much gas can you save when you've got to do a valve job?
Well, you don't necessarily have to do a valve job, but you need to keep it clean. And this is one of the reasons why you're starting to see more and more recommendations for air induction cleaning or fuel injector cleaning or stuff like that sooner and sooner. We're seeing cars, you know, 25,000, 30,000, 35,000 that really should have some sort of cleaning done to it to help prevent keeping that carbon buildup off the valves.
Wow. Well, thanks a lot, Greg, and Merry Christmas to you and your audience.
Well, thank you very much, Bill. Appreciate the phone call. Let's move on. How about we talk to Hal? Hi, Hal. You're up next on the KMOX Auto Show.
How you doing, Greg? I just have one comment and one question. Well, the comment's a question. I mean, would you agree that for a customer coming into an auto repair shop, he should only express the problems with the car without suggesting what he thinks the problem is? Would that be a safe approach in letting them fix something that probably isn't the problem?
Let me get this straight, Hal. I want to make sure I understand you correctly. So what you're saying is when you walk into an auto repair shop and you talk to the service advisor, you just should just state what the car is doing and not give your perception of what it's doing?
Right, right.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you what. That's personally, for me, I don't mind when the customer wants to give me their opinion. Here's my answer to that, Hal. It's because it's your car. You drive that car every day. I don't. I may drive it, you know, 5 minutes. So I want to gather as much information about your situation and your concern so I'm able to repair your car correctly the first time.
Yeah, but wouldn't you drive the car and determine the problem for itself, not going by my opinion?
Absolutely.
Well, let me tell you what happened to me. I had a 59 Ford F-100. I had vibration. So what I thought it was the kingpins vibrating while I was driving. Well, after the guy who fixed the kingpins, I still had the problem. What it was is that the tail end of the transmission housing was hollowed out by the yoke of the drive shaft being depleted and bouncing around at the end. So I ended up fixing it twice.
Well, I can't say for what shop you took it to, and obviously I wasn't privy to the conversation you had. I know personally as a service writer, I want to make sure that I ask as many questions as possible. And I'll tell you a case in point that happened yesterday when I had a gentleman that wanted to come in for an alignment. So I want to question him on why that he wants to bring it in for alignment. Did he put his own parts on? Is he having some tire wear? Is the car pulling? Is the car vibrating? You know, I want to find out the most information. And so when the customer tells me, well, you know, I think I need an alignment due to the fact of I'm driving on the highway and my steering wheel starts to vibrate, I can say, well, it's probably not an alignment. We should really look in the area of the tires or tire balance. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, but isn't your duty to first diagnose it yourself? Because a customer is just a driver.
Absolutely. But again, Hal, I'm not trying to get in an argument with you, but again, it's your vehicle. You drive it every day. I don't have a chance to drive it every day. That's why I want to gather as much information as possible. And I will say in today's world, most customers will try to research it themselves on the internet before they even come in and see me. So they're already going to have some sort of diagnosis, you know, in their head that they think this is probably what it is.
So you don't disregard what the customer is coming to you on their opinion. Wouldn't you just take it for a test drive yourself?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. After I get all the information, absolutely, I'm gonna put my technician in it and have him drive it, and I'm gonna tell him the customer's complaint, what he's doing, what the customer has said, so we can try to duplicate the conditions that the symptom was set. So absolutely, right, and most of the time,
you have a customer come into you and the customer would be not play dumb, but just say, listen, my car is shaking. Can you find out the problem? That's not enough for you.
Sure. Okay. So if you said that to me, Hal, and we're just about done here, but if you said that to me, my car is shaking, my first question is, at what speed do you feel it shaking? Is it while you're driving around town? Is it while you're on the highway? Is it while you're braking?
Yeah. Yeah, I just got yelled at by my girlfriend's uncle, who was a auto mechanic, said never tell them what you think it is, because you're pretty much going to get that fixed.
You know what, Hal?
Get that fixed.
I'd go see somebody else. That's what I'd do.
Okay, thank you.
I appreciate
your wonderful night.
You too. Thanks, Hal. Appreciate the phone call. Let's try to sneak in a couple more here. Let's talk to JW. JW, you're up next on the KMOX Auto Show.
Hey, man, it's a pleasure. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. How about you, JW? What's going on?
Hey, man, you just gave that guy the best advice at the end, man. Go talk to somebody else.
You know what? There are tons of great auto mechanics throughout the St. Louis metropolitan area and all over the place. If you're not happy, why would you stay?
It makes no sense. Here's my dilemma, man. I'm working with a buddy. He bought a junker, as far as I'm concerned. But, hey, he's stuck in it, and I'm trying to help him.
Okay.
It's a 94 Buick Rendezvous. We just found out today they've switched the motor. Based on how all the wires are going and harnesses in places that shouldn't be, they definitely switched the motor in this car. But here's the problem. He has 17 codes in this car, and the check engine light is on, and so therefore he can't get it inspected.
Okay,
and I'm trying to figure out, I don't even know where to begin to try to help them, because you got 17 codes. What I want to tell you is take it back, but it's already been at least 6 weeks, just under 2 months. So,
well, I would tell him to probably take it back. Here is probably what's going on. Again, JW, I'm just speculating. I'm just a guy on the radio trying to help you with your car.
I understand.
So I've actually ran into this problem before, and somebody had an engine go out in their car. They put another engine in. All of a sudden, it comes in because the check engine light's on. We diagnose it, kind of find out that it's in the timing area. Well, it turns to find out they put an engine in that's 3 years newer than what the car is. So the electronics cannot read each other.
Exactly.
Because they can't talk to each other. Or the new engine has more stuff on it than what the old electronics is for. It will operate. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. That's what, you know, my guy that I'm working with in terms of, you know, a technician, it's like you was a fly on the wall. He was saying, hey, man, all we know is for sure this motor been changed, but we don't know if it's newer, older. You know, these codes probably just not matching up, because the truck, remarkably, is running pretty good.
Nope.
But with that light on, you can't get an inspection.
Nope, you're absolutely correct.
Okay, well, you've been a big help, Greg. Thanks. I enjoy your show.
Well, thank you very much, JW. Have a great evening. Let's sneak in a couple here real quick. How about Butch? Butch, you're up next on the KMOX Auto Show.
Hi, Greg. Special holidays. Where's your shop located?
Well, if you send me KMOXAutoGuy@gmail.com, I'll tell you, okay?
Okay, okay. A couple things. Enjoy the show. Always informative. About 40 years ago, I was in a test drive with a Yanko. I think it was a Chevelle that he dressed up.
Okay.
And holy cow. Does he still do any of those kind of cars?
Well, the company still does, yes. So,
oh.
But it's probably a Camaro, actually, I would think.
Okay. The other thing is, I think one of my ideal cars might be the new black and blue Bugatti.
Oh, there you go. You better break out that black MasterCard or black American Express, if I'll tell you that. So
I looked it up online last night. They only make 40.
Right. They're all handmade.
Yeah, you've got to be invited to buy it. You just can go up there. Is it worth all that hype about it and everything?
Well, they're all handmade, number one. But, you know, I for me personally, I'll never have that opportunity. So, but I appreciate the phone call, Butch.
Is there one in St. Louis?
I'm not sure there's a Bugatti dealer in St. Louis. Maybe one in Chesterfield. You may have to Google that. I know there's one in Chicago.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, Butch, thanks. How about the last one? Let's talk to David. David, you're up next on the KMOX Auto Show.
Yeah, hey, what's up? Really enjoy the show.
Thank you.
For Chris, it's hard to narrow down a car. It really is. But I think if I had to be pushed to something, it would be a 1980 Lamborghini LP5000S, which is a Countach, with black, with Adrian Bardot.
Well,
at the steering wheel.
That's Cannonball Run, my friend.
You got it. You got it.
Now I'm showing my age.
Me too. The other gal could be in there, too, I guess. I don't know her name.
Yeah, I don't remember that. All I remember is Adrian Barbeau. But that's all for a whole other show. So,
thanks.
I appreciate it, David. Thanks so much.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Folks, it's just that easy. 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. We're taking your dream car, what car you want Santa to leave you underneath the tree. We're going to take a quick break. Coming up next, we're going to talk with Phil Brooks. He is our state house representative for KMO, or not representative, but our reporter for KMOX. Got some interesting news. Stick around. KMOX Auto Show. Welcome back to the KMOX Auto Show, my friends. 526 is your time right here in the heart of Mid-America. And joining us next on the KMOX Auto Show is our KMOX State House correspondent, Phil Brooks. Phil, thanks for coming in and hanging out with us here on the KMOX Auto Show today.
Well, it's good to be with you.
Thank you so much for your time here on a Saturday. I wanted to talk to you because Justin Hill, he's a representative from Lake St. Louis, has... I guess, what is he, introduced a bill or is trying to introduce a bill about banning automated cars or autonomous cars here in the state of Missouri?
Well, it's been pre-filed, so January 9th, when the legislature begins, it'll get introduced. It doesn't ban them. It just prohibits all local governments, cities, counties, from in any way regulating driverless cars.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, it would leave it up to the state, but the state's got no law, nothing about driverless cars. So this would kind of make it a wide open field for anybody to be half asleep driving these or sitting there while the car drives.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that they're rolling out autonomous cars all over the place. In fact, we're going to talk a little bit later today about in Arizona, Waymo, which is a Google company, has a fleet of autonomous cars that they're using for like Uber and stuff like that.
The interesting thing about this is the General Assembly, the Missouri's legislature, has really not addressed this issue. Last year, there was one legislator who sponsored a bill to allow them on state highways, but that bill went absolutely nowhere. So this is a kind of wide open territory in Missouri.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessary for Missouri. I think it's for a lot of states because people just don't know how this is going to go with this, with these automated cars where no driver's in there, but you know they're still prone to other issues as well.
Yeah, I've been wondering when I read this bill the other day that maybe this bill this year is going to prompt this General Assembly to begin a discussion about this. Under what conditions can you operate in a driverless vehicle? Do you have to be awake? Do you have to have a driver's license? There's a number of issues that strikes me that Missouri's General Assembly could be considering. This is new technology, but by golly, it's coming rapidly onto us.
Yeah, it's funny. I was talking to my son a couple days ago, and we talking a little bit about autonomous cars. He just, you know, was getting ready to drive, and so I kind of told him, like, boy, this is just really uncharted territory. We just don't know what's going to happen.
And we, in a way, if you think about it, we have this in a little bit with the newer models of cars that will automatically stop or slow down if you get near a car. I've rented some cars in which it'll automatically slow down with when you've got it on automatic cruise control.
Correct.
If it detects something in front of you. So we're kind of already there. And this bill that Hill has introduced that would preempt local government from doing anything with this stuff, it kind of addresses that by making it clear that what he is stopping, what his bill would stop local government from controlling, is automatic driverless stuff that is on a continuing basis. So the kind of thing that slows your car down when you're on cruise control because the car in front of you or puts
down
on the brakes, that would not be affected by this at all.
Okay. Well, we'll have to see what's going on. You'll have to join us again when it goes to General Assembly.
Well, it'll be before the General Assembly on the 9th of January. The question is whether or not the House Republican leadership wants to have a debate about this issue.
Well, that sounds great, Phil. Can you keep us updated?
Yeah, I will do that.
All right, fantastic. That's Phil Brooks. He's our State House correspondent for KMOX, and been lucky enough to have him join us here on the KMOX Auto Show. Let's go and let's see here. Oh, I guess our caller just went off the air. So I was going to pull up. Yep. You guys want to join us? 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. We're going to talk a little about autonomous cars, but we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're taking more of your phone calls again. What's that number? 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. Welcome back, my friends, the KMOX Auto Show. 5:36 is your time right here in the heart of Mid-America. We got some folks on hold. If you want to join us, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Let's talk to Will as I cut him off earlier. Hey, Will, you're up next on the KMOX Auto Show.
All right, enjoy your show. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Will. What's going on?
I got an 09 Lexus RX350 that I've had brand new, great car. But lately, I'm having problems with the passenger side seatbelt warning going off with nobody over there. It just starts beeping when I'm making a hard left. And then when I straighten out, it stops most times. So I don't know if that's a safety issue or can I just buckle the seatbelt and be done with it.
Well, I don't think that you're going to have if you buckle the seatbelt, I don't think it's going to help. Here's why. So that actually has a weight sensor that's in that seat in the passenger seat. So, you know, it has to detect, supposedly the way the system works is it has to detect, I think it's 50 pounds. I'd have to look it up. I'm not 100% sure, but it's got to detect so much weight and then it will activate the seatbelt or airbag. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So if you're having an issue to where you're turning the car, I'm thinking that probably that seat sensor, that weight sensor, probably is not working correctly. Now, that's just obviously just speculation. You could have a seatbelt issue. It could be any number of things. I'd want to get that looked out by, as we always recommend, ASE-certified technician here on the KMOX Auto Show. I'd want to get that looked at fairly soon because you could have an issue to where the seatbelt may not work properly. They have like what they call a pretensioner,
right.
which when, if you're in an accident, what it does is it actually cinches the seatbelt up tighter and pulls you in the seat. You could have an airbag issue. It could be any number of things. I'd want to get that looked up as soon as possible, just so you're safe in the vehicle.
Okay. I don't have to go back to a dealer, do I? Can I just go to an ASE certified?
Yeah, I'd want to go to a really good, reputable shop because you know, for guys that are really well versed in that kind of repair.
Okay.
I'm not a big chain guy, you know, as far as taking it to chains. But I want to go to somebody that really knows the system and knows how that system works, so they're able to repair it at the right time.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the help and all the information.
All right, Will. Have a good one. Thanks a lot, man.
All righty. Goodbye.
Let's talk to Ken. Hi, Ken. You're up next on the KMOX Auto Show.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I have also, this is a Lexus issue. I have a 2008 ES, and it's got 60,000 miles on it. Take good care of it. And I noticed recently when I drive it, when I first start out, there's a little like thump I hear in the rear. I thought it was something in the trunk, but there's nothing in the trunk. And then when I take it out, after about 12 to 15 minutes, I get on the highway, and it I hear a rumble. And the rumble almost sounds like the exhaust system, but it really sounds like if I'm driving with a bald tire. It goes away after about 45 seconds, and I don't hear it anymore.
Wow, that's pretty pretty bizarre.
Yeah.
I'd want to, you know what, here's the best thing you do, Ken, is, again, we always recommend ASE-certified technicians. I'd say I'd go into your shop, the guys you trust, and I'd say, hey, look, here's my issue. Can somebody go for a ride with me so I can, you know, show them my concern and see if we can get this nailed down as to what it is? Because, the thing that worries me is it goes away after 45 seconds. It you know, if there's something broken or something like that, usually that's not going to go away.
Right, and I'll actually like put it in neutral and give it a little more gas, thinking maybe it was like in the exhaust, it would make more of a rumbling sound, but it doesn't. It actually, it just stays steady, and then like magic, it goes away.
Hmm. Well, that's my best advice.
Okay, well, thank you.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Ken. Appreciate the phone call. Let's sneak in one more. How about CJ? Hi, CJ. You're up next here on the KMOX Auto Show.
Good afternoon, sir. I bought a 97 Suburban with 100,000 miles on it. Now it has 390 on the original motor. Apparently they changed the water pump before I bought the vehicle. So we changed the water pump last year. It had like 267,000 miles on the water pump, which is pretty good for an aftermarket water pump.
Sure.
But I didn't have time to change the timing chain. So the vehicle's in storage now for the winter. What do you think about changing the timing chain? It's running perfect, 20 miles a gallon. I'm not having any issues at all.
So let me get this straight. This is a Suburban?
97, yes.
Okay.
So
here's what, you know, to me, a timing chain needs to be replaced when it goes bad, when there's some sort of issue with it. Okay? This is my opinion, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Most timing chains, they will stretch, but unless there's an issue, I wouldn't really recommend changing it. It's not like a timing belt. So, you know, usually on that 97, you're probably going to get a check engine light because the timing chain will stretch far enough to where the timing won't jive, if you understand what I mean.
Okay.
Between either the crank sensor, the cam sensor, or I'm not sure. Does that have a distributor? 97? I can't remember if it does or not. But you would have some sort of issue usually before that happens.
Okay, I'm not sure if the check engine light's burned out or not, but the same thing the dealer told me, because we, you know, years ago when you change your water pump, you change the timing chain automatically. But
I've never heard that in my life. If it was a timing belt, absolutely, not a timing chain.
Okay, all right, sir. I was just making sure I don't be breaking down the road somewhere. So
nope, I understand. Again, if you have a timing belt, what I do at our shop as well. So if you have a timing belt. And most of them, I'll just throw one out. So most Hondas at 105,000, they recommend replacement of the timing belt. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of folks will just go in and they'll just replace the timing belt. Okay. We don't do that. The reason why, we'll go in and replace the timing belt, the water pump, the camshaft seals, the crankshaft seals. Usually it'll come with a new tensioner as well, and install that. The reason is when you put a new timing belt on and you don't replace those things, and especially the water pump, you're going to put a little bit more stress on that water pump. So your water pump already has 105,000 miles on it. The bearings are a little worn. Now all of a sudden you've tightened it up and you put more stress on that water pump. Well, guess what? It starts to elongate that bearing, possibly the neck of the water pump. Now all of a sudden it starts leaking. So now it starts leaking, gets on the belt. So guess what? Now you got to take everything back apart, put a new belt on, and a water pump, and everything else. Same thing with the camshaft seals and the crankshaft seal.
Yeah, when you used to replace cams, always do lifters. You don't do one or the other; you do both. You know, when you're that far in it, mind just get it done right.
Well, I'm not talking about replacing the camshafts. I'm talking about replacing the seals.
Well, yeah, I know. I mean, you're that far in there. I mean, I just don't want, you know, when you do a belt like that, if you're that far into the car, you mind just go ahead and replace it, even if it's not going bad. So.
All right. Well, I appreciate the call. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Folks, it's just that easy again. 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. Chris Kerber is going to join us on the KMOX Auto Show. Stick around. Welcome back to the KMOX Auto Show. 548 is your time right here in the heart of Mid-America. If you want to join us on the program, 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. We're answering all your questions and queries in the wacky world of automotive and trying to answer anything you got. I'll answer anything today. That's the way I feel. 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. We're also taking, you see those Christmas, those commercials on the air about getting a new car. There's a new car with a Rig Red bow on the driveway, and I'm taking your phone call, see what kind of car you'd like to get. It can be new, old, doesn't matter. What do you want Santa to bring in and put underneath the tree? That's what we're taking. 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. Let's go, and how about we talk to Bill? Hi, Bill. You're up next on the KMOX Auto Show.
Hi. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, I've got an old 2001 740i. It's the last year that they made it, and it's driving great. It's got like 120,000 miles on it. But when I'm driving it hard, like going down a steep hill and making a left-hand turn, I'm getting a lot of shudder on the steering wheel. And then the other thing that happens is when it hasn't been driven for a while and I'm getting it up to speed and it gets to like 50 or 60 as you're getting on like 170 or something, that same shudder will kind of exist, and then after a little bit of time it'll go away. So I'm just kind of wondering, the suspension's been looked at, it's got decent tires, the front brakes have recently been changed. Is it just like old parts that take a little while to set in?
No, not necessarily that. I was going to say by your first comment that I'd want to take a quick take a good look at the steering rack bushings and make sure that they're not, distorted or anything else. It's the same with those control arms. Those bushings do tend to wear out, and even though they may look good, when you have it under load, they may be moving. And I'm talking about the lower control arms with the ball joint. That's the one that's got the two lower control arms on each side, if I remember right.
Yeah, but those have been looked at, and the suspension is kind of. I'm going back to like, where's the steering wheel fit in the steering wheel? I think that the first thing that you said is more. Is that the same thing, or is that two different things?
Well, it's different. The steering wheels. Obviously what you hold on to when you drive.
Yeah, but the steering wheel bushings, are they all the way down?
Well, no, the rack and pinion bushings. So the steering column attaches to the steering rack, okay? So there's bushings that hold that steering rack onto the frame of the vehicle. So you're able to turn the wheel back and forth. There's really no steering linkage. It's all the steering rack, okay?
Where do you tighten up the steering wheel?
Well, there's a nut underneath the steering wheel, but if you're feeling a shudder, your steering wheel would be loose all the time if that was an issue.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's not.
Okay.
But it's one of these big oversized steering wheels that's really kind of bigger, and it has a lot of left and right as you're going down the highway. It's not one of these smaller twitchy steering wheels.
I understand, but again, I'm just a guy on the radio trying to answer your question here. So, the best thing to do, kind of like a caller earlier, is I'd probably get a ASE certified technician and say, hey, look, here's my issue. Can you jump in a car and take a ride with me so I can show you what's going on and have them experience it? And they'll probably get, some pathway of where to look for what your concern is.
Okay. All right. And you're saying that there's two places to look at, and that's where the...
Well, there may be other places to look at. I don't know. I'm just... The first thing that comes to mind is I'd want to make sure that I take a really good look at those steering rack bushings.
Okay, that's it.
Perfect. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Bill. Have a great evening.
Okay, bye.
Folks, just like that, 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. A couple things that I want to talk about here real quick. We talked a little about with Phil Brooks about autonomous cars or auto-driving cars. Now, Waymo, which is a company, a Google company, they already have self-driving taxi service in Arizona right now. So they promised they'd launch a rideshare service by the end of 2018. Their self-driving taxis have already shuttled a couple hundred riders and have had no issues as of right now. So obviously this is a huge step for autonomous cars. This is the first time now that they're going to start charging a fee for an automotive or autonomous ride or self-driving car ride taxi. And, you know, car developers are really anxious and eager now to start maybe recouping some of the investment costs. So we'll see what happens. Waymo's the first one to unlock this revenue stream that they're able to do that. So we'll see what happens from that. Arizona, again, the issue here with autonomous cars, especially here in the Midwest, and we've talked about this many times, cars today have all sorts of cameras around them. Okay, as you heard Phil talk about the adaptive cruise control, where the car, if it sees something in front of you, it's got a camera looks out front. It sees something in front of you that's not the same speed, it'll start slowing your vehicle down. You've seen the adaptive braking. If somebody walks out in front of you, you've seen the car stop by itself. They advertise that on TV. You've seen the collision avoidance, where your lights will light up on the mirror when there's a car that's in your blind spot or passing you. They'll have those as well. Cameras look out the back. So, you know, kind of the car is ready to go for the autonomous driving. The problem that we run into that many people are having a hard time figuring out is what happens in inclement weather. So when it's snowing or when it's raining or there's ice on your car and it's covering these cameras, they can't read correctly. So this is why you still have to have a person inside that car. Obviously, in Arizona, most of the time you're just hot and dry and sweating. So, you know, that's why they're testing the cars there. But, you know, here in the Midwest, what happens? What happens on a day when it's overcast and, you know, or there's mist in the air? What happens if a plastic trash bag gets caught on your grill and covers the camera that's looking out the front? Many people don't realize this. So this is one of the questions that automakers are trying to answer. I did want to bring up also that, that these Waymo cars, this is kind of funny, that Waymo has had 21 assault charges for people against their cars. And I'll just kind of go over this real quick here. According to the report, people have thrown rocks, they've slashed tires, they've harassed the cars with a human safety driver inside. Another incident involved a Jeep driver that ran the self-driving car off the road. They even had somebody pull a handgun and aimed at the car as it drove by. No shots were fired. Now, they do go on to say the handgun incident involved a guy with dementia. He said that he intended to scare the driver, though, with his handgun because he hates the autonomous cars, and told police how the self-driving vehicle killed a pedestrian back in March. So, you know, these test drivers, I mean, obviously, they're just doing their job. So we'll see what happens. I don't know. You know, that's probably a good topic we ought to talk about is, would you ride in a self-driving car? Would you drive in an autonomous car? Would you own one of those? Give me a call, 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. We're just about ready to go to our break here. We've got all sorts of stuff coming up today on the KMOX Auto Show, my friends, going all the way till 7 o'clock tonight, 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. We'll see you on the other side of news, my friends. Welcome back to the second hour of the KMOX Auto Show, my friends. 6:05 is your time right here in the heart of Mid-America. My name is still Greg Damon. Yes, it still is Greg Damon, and I'm the host of the KMOX Auto Show, and I invite you to join us here on the program. 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. It is a Saturday at your service, so if you have any question or query in the wacky world of automotive, we're going to try to help you out here today on the KMOX Auto Show. Excuse me. Still trying to fight that cold or stuff that everybody else has got. So we're going to give you some great advice, too, and not only that, we got some guests as well coming up this hour, but I always have time for your phone calls, 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. Here's what we're looking for today. We kind of started this last week with our what car would you like Santa to bring you and put underneath the tree? You know, it's you see those commercials all the time with cars out in the driveway with a big red bow. So what would you like to see out in your driveway with that big red bow on it? And it can be new, old, it doesn't matter, any one of those. We'll take them all. We've got quite a list going. I want to keep it going. We're going to do that all the way through Christmas here on the KMOX Auto Show. Also, as we kind of talked last hour about autonomous cars and the things that are happening and what can happen, I'd like to know your opinion. Is that something that you would either ride in or be a driver that wouldn't necessarily have to drive? Is this something that you would possibly own? 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. You know, there's a lot of things that, especially a lot of older folks out there that, you know, think that things today on cars are too complicated with the audio infotainment centers and everything else that these cars are all computerized. And is this just one more level of stuff that could go wrong or possibly have issues with, or folks just really don't understand how to use them correctly? So again, I'd like to get your question or your opinion on if you would drive that, you'd ride in it, or if you would even own that. Folks, don't forget, it is, that's right, it is wintertime. That's right. Make sure that you winterize all your cars. We've got a lot of folks coming in the shop, want to make sure that they're all ready to go for the wintertime. And make sure that, you know, the coolant's up to snuff and it got plenty of washer fluid and the washers work great. And you got great wiper blades on there. Your tires are in check. We want to make sure that you're safe as well. And we want to make sure that you do that. This is probably one of the greatest things that my friend Lee, that's right, his name's Lee, has ever come up with in his life. He wanted me to make sure that I told everybody that, you know, while you go to the gas station and you gas up your vehicle, make sure that you clean the headlights and taillights off, especially if there's been inclement weather or there's rain or anything else. You know how dirty your car gets. Well, guess what? That creates a lack of visibility on your headlights for you to be able to see. And not only that, but also your taillights, your marker lights, because now folks can't really see you. And we want you to be safe. You know, my pet peeve is when you see a car that's got a brake light out or a taillight out or a marker light out. How many of these cars do you see on the highway? You want to be safe in there, not necessarily so you can see, but for other folks to be able to see you. Two good friends of mine, their kids were involved in a massive car wreck on Thanksgiving Day. On Highway 94, they were turning left at the traffic light, and somebody just blew through the light and T-boned them. One kid has some bumps and bruises. The other one had to go to the hospital, still in a wheelchair today. He's going to be okay. But thankfully, cars are built today to where they can withstand that side impact. And his parents actually think that, you know, the airbags is what saved this boy's life because of that. So this is why I want everybody to make sure that you can be able to be seen and also see. All right? That's why I'm so... So big into making sure that all the lights work on your vehicle. Also, don't forget your wipers. Want to make sure your wipers don't have any tears in them and everything else. I can't tell you how many times folks go, well, I just had those wipers replaced last year, 2 years ago. Wipers are only good for about 6 months. With the ozone layer and the sun all the time, and folks just don't realize that your windshield actually has pock marks and dips and valleys and stuff like that. Even though it looks smooth and you can't feel with your finger, but that's what tears up wiper blades as they go. And, of course, I know how it is. When you got frost on the windows or you got a little ice on your windows, you don't want to warm the car up. You don't want to get out and scrape it because it's too cold. So what do? You turn on your washers and your wipers, and that ice and that frost just deteriorate the wiping edge of those blades. So wiper blades, you know, $30 for the pair, pretty good investment. Most folks can install them themselves. Not too shabby. So you want to make sure that those are replaced about every 6 months as well. That's what we do here on the KMOX Auto Show, give you great advice. I got some folks that are on hold here. We're going to get to them in just a second, but I got to do a little business. You're listening to KMOX Auto Show, News Radio 1120, Saturday at your service. Welcome back to the KMOX Auto Show. 6:15 is your time right here in the heart of Mid-America, and we're taking your phone calls, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Don't forget, a couple things we're looking for is if you would drive or you would own or you would ride in one of those autonomous cars. We talked about that last hour. Also, you see those commercials on TV where you got a brand new car in the driveway with the big red bow. What would be your dream car? What car would you like Santa to bring you? It can be new, old, doesn't matter. That's what we're taking here. 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. Back to the phones we go, and how about we talk to Patrick? Hi, Patrick. You're up next on the KMOX Auto Show.
Guys, this is Patrick. Long time listener. First time caller.
Well, where have you been, Patrick? Why haven't you called sooner?
I live here in St. Louis, but work in Austin.
Hey, Patrick, I tell you what, you're kind of cutting in and out. I'm going to put you on hold. Why don't you give us, or actually, I'm going to drop you. Go ahead and give us a call back, and I'll get you back on, okay? We're having some sort of connection issue. All right, we'll go on. How about we talk to Greg? Hi, Greg, you're up next on the KMOX Auto Show.
Merry Christmas, and thank you very much for your show. Appreciate it. I can tell you, autonomous is not going to work. It's not going to go. This country's built on freedom, freedom to do all kinds of things. That means be late, be early, or be on time. And there's just no way people are always going to try and get in a car and let the car tell them when they're going to be and how they're going to be there. And then on top of it,
these hang on, Greg. I want to stop you right there because I do agree with what you're saying. But on the other one, I'm going to be the devil's advocate here. On the other one, guess what? I can sleep, or women can put their makeup on, you know, while the car is driving them to work, or you know, there's all sorts of other things that go with that.
Yeah, right. Okay, that's a great argument for it. Okay, let me go ahead and tell you what I want in my Christmas driveway. You ready?
All right, hang on. I got my pen here. Okay, all right, go ahead.
Pen. I want the continuation of the Ford SHO after February. I want to buy one next June. I can't afford it now. I'd like to buy one next June.
Okay.
Now, they say they're going to stop it. Do you know anything about that?
I do not, but that doesn't surprise me. There's all sorts of talk about Ford just really taking away a lot of passenger cars, and I don't know. I've got an article here we're going to talk about a little about Lincoln as well, so I don't know what's going on with that. That's really kind of up in the air. That's a great point.
Well, the word on the street is February they're going to discontinue production. So yeah,
may very well be.
My Christmas gift would be one next Christmas, I guess. So I'll just have to be a good boy for another year.
There you go.
Not easy.
I think I'm in the same boat, Greg. I appreciate the phone call.
All right, thanks.
Thank you so much. Folks, I want to bring in our next guest. He's a frequent guest here on the KMOX Auto Show. Mike Wright from AAA. AAA has said now that about one out of every three Americans are going to be traveling this year. And I wanted to bring Mike in and talk a little bit more about that. And it doesn't matter if it's on planes, trains, or automobiles. And Mike Wright joins us here on the KMOX Auto Show. Mike, how you doing?
Just great, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for spending some of your time with us here. AAA, always a great company. We have AAA ourselves. A lot of folks going to be out there on the roads.
Well, you're right. Absolutely. We're anticipating the largest number of travelers over this Christmas, New Year's holiday in the history of our reputations or projections of travel. We're anticipating more than 112 million wow. Americans are going to be on the roadways, the airways, the railways over the holiday period.
Yeah, this is kind of a great year for Christmas. Obviously, Christmas on a Tuesday. A lot of businesses close Monday, so most folks get a four-day weekend.
Absolutely. The dates that both holidays fall this year encourages travel because of the possibility of four-day weekends.
Absolutely. Now, so AAA says the worst day to travel is going to be really on a Thursday or Friday of next week, and then obviously coming home on either the 26th or January 2nd.
Yeah, the 26th is probably going to be the worst of all of those days that you mentioned because a lot of people do have to get back to work after the Christmas holidays. So many people will celebrate their Christmas wherever their destination takes them, and they're not going to be traveling home on the 26th.
So now what about gas prices? We've been enjoying some pretty good gas prices here in the St. Louis area. That's for sure. Went up a little bit. But what about fuel prices for those folks out there on the road?
Well, fuel prices are likely to be less than we paid last year, in spite of the fact that we've seen a little bump up in the last couple of days because of the increase in both crude oil and wholesale gasoline in the last week or so. But generally speaking, we should see gasoline prices about 20 cents below what we paid this same time last year.
That's pretty good for the American driver, no doubt about that. I'm sure that's why we're going to see a lot more folks out on the road.
That's one of the reasons. I think, though, the main reason is the economic situation that people find themselves in this year compared to previous years. For example, unemployment's at record low periods. There's plenty of jobs out there. Consumer confidence is well above what it was a year or so ago. So there's a lot of positive economic indicators that contribute to people's intentions to travel.
This is one of the things that I thought was pretty amazing because in the article on the AAA article, It says that AAA expects to rescue more than 960,000 motorists this holiday season.
That's true. This is obviously a very busy time. Weather can be a serious factor in terms of the batteries, in terms of road conditions and so forth. So we'll have our fleets out throughout the country and anticipate a similar call volume as we've seen in the past holiday periods.
I think one of the big things that many folks don't realize is how many folks lock their keys in their car during the holiday season, maybe getting presents in and out of the car, or kids getting out of the car, kind of throw the keys in and don't really think about, you know, locking it, think they have them in their hand.
Well, certainly about 10% of our calls involve lockouts, and that's a significant number of roadside assistance calls for us. And a lot of it happens around the holiday periods as people are stressed out. They're in a hurry to get to where they're going. They're focused on things other than, you know, worrying about their keys and so forth. So we experience an awful lot of lockouts this time of year.
You brought up a great point about winter. 46% of all crashes involve bad weather. Obviously, you don't know what the weather is going to be like, you know, this Christmas season. So, you know, one of the things is we always talk about here on the auto show is we want to make sure that you're prepared. And I think one of the ways to do that is to make sure that you have some sort of roadside emergency kit, you know, with possibly a cell phone charger, which many folks may not think about, possibly also, you know, some ice scraper. We'll throw in some jumper cables, too.
Well, that's all good things to carry this time of year, certainly. And in addition to those things, you might want to have a small shovel, a long-handled broom, an ice scraper, some extra windshield washing solution, a towel, and some paper towels to clean things off so that you can make sure your windows are nice and clean, your lights are without dirt so that you can see these days.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess you can throw blankets in there as well because you never know what may
absolutely.
Happen.
Absolutely. Blankets, reflectors, some sort of abrasive material in the form of salt or kitty litter or a bag of sand.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, AAA, obviously one of the best organizations. I certainly feel that. As I said, you know, we have AAA as well. For folks who want more information about AAA, because you guys do a lot more than road service, where can they go?
We have a very active website, AAA.com.
All right. Well, fantastic. Mike, thanks so much for spending some of your Saturday here with us on the KMOX
Auto Show. As always, Greg, happy holidays to you and yours.
Thank you so much. That's Mike Wright from AAA. Always great information when Mike joins us here on the program. Lots of folks out there traveling. This is what we're trying to get you prepared for, my friends. Let's go back to the phones, and how about we talk to Bob? Hi, Bob. You're up next on the KMOX Auto Show.
Wow, thanks. Hey, the Shelby Cobra is such an iconic car, but a lot of people don't know about the Daytona Coupe, and that's what I would want. I'd want that Daytona Coupe because it could break through that.
Okay, so you want the Shelby Daytona Coupe.
That's right.
Okay, and I think, wasn't that, that was actually an offshoot of General Motors. Am I correct on that?
No, Carroll Shelby built the Cobra.
No, I know that. And there was, because he built a car for General Motors, and I thought that was a Daytona Coupe. I could be certainly wrong with that.
Well, and the Cobra being an open cockpit car couldn't break past like 160 miles an hour. It didn't have the aerodynamics. So I think Peter Brock designed the Daytona Coupe to compete, you know, internationally with the Ferrari.
I got you. Oh, okay. All right. I know
and
what you're
Peter Brock, at one point, did work for Chevrolet, right?
Yes, absolutely. So, So I've got that. You know what year that was by chance?
Oh, I think it was 65 or 66. 65,
right.
I think.
All right. So I'm going to put down 65. All right, Bob, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much.
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's talk to John. Hi, John. You're up next on the KMOX Auto Show.
Good afternoon, Mr. Damon.
How you doing?
A couple things. Car I learned to drive on when I was a kid was a 67 Buick Wildcat with a 430 V8 four-barrel carb. I would love to have that car again.
I think all of us want our first car, don't we?
I had that thing up to 115 on a little two-lane country road years ago and was only about three-quarters of the way to the floor.
Very, very nice.
Yeah. My question is about a recall notice that a relative of mine got. They have a 2014 Ford Fusion. They got a recall notice, something about a canister purge valve in the fuel system. It's a recall notice 18 S is in Sally 32 / NHTSA recall 18 V is in Victor 735.
Jan, you're talking Greek to me, man. I'd have to look it up. I don't know offhand.
Okay. And you touched on a sore point with me, especially after the last couple of days. The number of people out there with cars that are white, some shade of silver or gray, beige, with no lights on.
Right. Absolutely.
I mean, people, you don't need them to be to see, but you need them to be seen. And I can only think that either these people have a death wish or they are just inconsiderate.
Well, you may be right, John. You're preaching the choir, because that's my biggest pet peeve.
Do you know what a canister purge valve is, though?
Absolutely. Replace tons of them.
What is it?
So a canister purge valve. All right. So let's see. How can I explain this? So do you remember when you used to go to the gas station and you put the pump in the car and it had that big piece of convoluted tubing over top of it?
Yeah.
Okay. So what it used to, what that did was like it. It recovered the fuel vapors that were coming out of your fuel tank while you were filling it.
Right.
Okay, so your car kind of has the same type of system on it, okay, to grab those fuel vapors and reintroduce them back to the fuel tank. Okay, does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay, so the purge valve, what that does is, and this is just a basic explanation, basically the purge valve opens up and allows those vapors to be drawn back into the tank. It does more than that, but that's just kind of the gist of it.
Well, okay, in this recall, they were saying something that this would cause the engine to stall without warning.
Sure.
And cause all kinds of problems, even deform some of these plastic fuel tanks.
Absolutely, because what it'll do is it'll either open up and allow too much to come into it when the car is not supposed to be having that done.
Okay, this car also has another annoying habit when I drive it. I will be in first gear, and I'll be going away from starting away from a stoplight or a stop sign, and after maybe half a second to a second and a half, it'll just start to shudder and lurch. It only does it in first gear.
Is this a manual transmission?
No, it's an automatic. Okay.
You could have some sort of transmission issue. Could be some sort of ignition issue. Maybe you may have a coil breaking down. Kind of like the same, what I told other callers before is, hey, grab your ASE technician, throw him in the car and say, can you go for a ride with me and experience what's going on?
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Damon. Appreciate your help.
All right, John. Have a good evening.
You too.
Folks, just that easy. 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. We're going to take a quick timeout. Chris Kerber up next. Stick around. Welcome back to the KMOX Auto Show, my friends. Well, you know, I love talking sports, and none better to talk sports with than our good friend Chris Kerber. He is joining us here on the KMOX Auto Show. A little obscure rule calling last night in the Blues game, huh, Chris?
Hey, I'll tell you something, Greg. We have seen some wild stuff this week. We've seen a puck go in off the hip of a referee and having to refresh the rule to everybody that the puck cannot go directly in off of a referee. Then we've seen the puck go off the glass, come back over the net, hit the leg of Jake Allen and go in. Something we haven't seen since I saw that happen, and it come over the glass and hit Patrick Olim in the rear end. And then we saw last night. Now, last night was a real unique situation. And frankly, I think it took some explaining from the National Hockey League to get that thing figured out.
Well, I mean, technically the rule, what they called, was correct. But personally for me, I think I don't necessarily think it was something that they probably should have called, during play. And that's not by just being a Blues fan. That's just in hockey general.
Well, so everybody's aware. Here's the scenario. Here's the play that led up to what happened.
Let's take everybody through what happened last night.
Yeah. So the game goes into overtime. It's 3-on-3 overtime. Colton Parayko loses his stick. Now, Colton Parayko is 6'6". So guys like Colton Parayko, Zdeno Chara, and Chris Pronger played. He's another example. These guys have special permission to use a longer stick because they're that much taller. So there is an actual stick size limit that guys can have. You have to get an exemption to be able to use that stick. Here's why that's important with what happened last night. Colton Parayko loses his stick, and typically when the defenseman loses his stick, a forward will give the defenseman his stick so the defenseman can at least put the puck near the net. Tarasenko did that. The play goes on for, man, what felt like a good minute. I don't remember the exact amount of time. But Tarasenko finally said, I've just got to go get the stick. So he skates over into the corner and picks up Vladimir Tarasenko's stick. Now, that action in and of itself is legal according to the rules, if you interpret the rules that way.
Yeah, he picked up Colton Parayko's stick.
He picked up Colton Parayko's stick. You can grab the stick of a teammate and use it. However, in this case, he grabbed a stick that was a special exemption stick from a player that was 6'6". So the moment that Vladimir Tarasenko goes to play with that stick, he is now officially using an illegal stick. So that's why it was called for illegal equipment. Here's the problem, and here's where the referee screwed it up. And it wasn't the veteran referee, you know, that was in the game. It was a younger referee who's only been in the league, I think, 2 seasons, maybe 3. And that, what the referee did, the problem with the stick measurement is this. The other team has to ask for the stick measurement. So, for example, the play could have continued for another 2.5 minutes. Time would have run out. And if the other team had not asked for a stick measurement, well, then nothing would have happened. So the referee himself cannot make that call on the stick measurement. It had to be asked for by the other team. So while there is a rule against Vladimir Tarasenko using Colton Parayko's stick because of the size of the stick, the referee, despite what some people are still putting out there, did not get it right, because that's not a call that the referee is the one that should be making. So even technically, he did not get it right. So you put that into play, and, you know, the Blues were fortunate, and you know, it turned out okay for the St. Louis Blues, but really, what kind of, it was a kind of a screwy situation there. Now, according to what we've seen, you know, from Darren Pang and John Kelly today, you know, what the National Hockey League is saying, look, we don't want players having to think of, okay, I can't use that guy's stick, but I can use this guy's stick. You know, that just creates a massive confusion on the ice. And so
yeah, you would
there
never
might have to be some clarification happening there.
Right, you would never know if you're a player on the ice that, who, you know, you wouldn't be thinking of, oh, I can't use his stick. I mean, you're just looking to grab a stick.
Correct. And, you know, it brings up, I think, a bigger situation. That is, at some point, I think the NHL has to go through the rule book and maybe work on some clarifying things for today's game. And, you know, more like offside, goalie interference. Those are calls that, those are rules that need to be rewritten that can account for frame by frame replays. Those are the two things that can be reviewed from a video standpoint. If you actually read Rule 10.3, you can make the case that Vladimir Tarasenko was not allowed to even grab the other guy's stick, because Rule 10.3 refers to a player that has lost his stick or his stick is broken. Well, if you intentionally hand your stick to another teammate, does that constitute as a stick being lost? And that's not clarified in the rule there. So, you know, really, and that's what we were doing on the air last night, Greg, is we were trying to figure out, how do you interpret this rule so the referee was right? And in the end, the league just said, no, referee actually made the wrong call on that. And we moved forward, and good news, the Blues got 2 points.
Right. Well, that's, you know, the NHL came out today and said, hey, this is, technically the rule is correct, but not in that instance, is kind of what they said.
Well, the rule is correct.
But again, the other team has to call it.
The rule, but the referee, the team is the one, and it has been a long time. It's sort of like, you know, checking the old pine tar level on a baseball bat. The teams just don't do it anymore, right?
Right.
Teams just don't ask about illegal sticks anymore. I couldn't tell you the last time I saw it, actually. And you know, in the late 90s, maybe even around 2000, you still saw it a decent amount. Of course, you saw the, Barry Melrose with the call between the LA Kings and the Montreal Canadiens,
right.
The last famous one that was done in the Stanley Cup final. But outside of that, you just don't see that called anymore. Now, this case would be different, because in the one that we were just talking about, we're talking about the curve of a stick, or maybe the height of a blade. This one, when it comes to grabbing the stick of a 6'6" player, you're talking about the actual length of the stick, and that one would be interesting if a player tried to play with a stick that long on a regular basis. But no, Colorado would have had to have asked for that stick to be measured if Tarasenko had played it. Here's the other thing that's actually not even clear in the rule break, And at some point, we will get this asked. We'll get Stephen Waltham or somebody on the phone and just have some fun and get some of the nuances clarified.
Yeah, something may happen after this year. You know, they look at this call and we may be able to get back into the rule book and look around just like you suggested.
Well, sure, because sometimes those rules just don't have to. You could go 5-10 years without a rule that's in the rule book actually be coming into play. And then you can reassess whether it's an important rule still. Now, the one thing that's interesting that I don't know the answer to yet is the moment Vladimir Tarasenko picks up that stick, is he considered playing with that stick, or does he have to touch a puck and engage to be considered playing with the stick? And I don't know the actual rule on that one.
I would think, obviously this is me speculating, but I would think that if you are on the ice while play is going on, technically you'd be in the play.
Technically correct, but stuff's not worded in the rule book, so you have to. You're right. But that's an interpretation.
Right. Absolutely.
I could turn around and just to play devil's advocate and have some fun with you, sit there and say he had not re-engaged in the play yet.
Right.
Because remember now, for a player, for example, if a player is going to end up in a fight, and there's the potential that he could be kicked out because he joined an altercation, right? He actually has to join the play. He just can't come over the bench and go fight a guy. He's got to actually engage in the play. So just being on the ice doesn't necessarily constitute as engaging in the play when it comes to fighting. So how does that handle with a illegal stick? I don't know.
Yeah, it's the same as changing on the fly. Same thing. If the player comes out and engages in the play before the other players so far from the bench, you know, it's too many men on the ice.
Correct. Yep. So just conform with the rule book, I think.
Absolutely. I think that's great. I appreciate you coming on the show and explaining that to us. I did want to get your thoughts also on Robert Bertuzzo getting a 3-year contract extension.
Good news there. The Blues don't have much defensive depth in the minors. We're seeing that with the inconsistency in Jordan Schmaltz. They haven't called up Jake Wallman, and so locking him up at a very reasonable rate is a great thing, and he's a terrific teammate, so congratulations to him.
It seems like the Blues are playing a little bit more spark here the past couple games. Your thoughts on that?
They're making smarter decisions with the puck, Greg, and away from the puck, and that's the key. Is that they're making some smaller plays that help you win hockey games, not constantly going for the risk and the home run, and I think that's what's helping them out right now.
Nope, absolutely. Well, Chris, I can't thank you enough for joining us here on one of your off nights, I should say, and hanging out with us here on the KMOX Auto Show.
Always love talking to you, Greg. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. That's our friend Chris Kerber. We'll be back. Stick around. More of the Auto Show to come on KMOX. Welcome back, my friends, the KMOX Auto Show. Into the final laps we go, but we're still taking your phone calls, 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. Those are the phone numbers. We still have a few minutes to take your phone calls and answer any questions or queries you have in the wacky world of automotive, as I like to say. Heck, I'll even try to answer anything for you today. I feel like the Shell Answer Man. So that's what we're going to do for you. 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. I want to welcome our next guest in here to the KMOX Auto Show. Probably one of the funniest guys I've ever met in my life. He's a reporter here at KMOX, and Kevin Killeen joins us here on the program. How you doing, Kevin?
Well, that's quite a buildup. Thank you, Greg. I do have an automotive question. If I get sleepy when my car heater is on, does that mean there's an exhaust leak? That's happening to me lately.
I
don't want to go to work.
It could be that you're just getting older, Kevin, and or maybe you got a bit of narcolepsy. I'm not sure.
It's pronounced. But I don't know. It seems to be running along. Not anything like the cars that you used to help me with that had squirrels in the engine.
Well, that's true. Hey, I did want to ask you, though. So we're doing this little survey. We're going to do it all the way up till Christmas. But you know those commercials you see on the TV where they walk out in the driveway and here's this brand-new car with the big red bow on it?
Yeah.
So what we're doing is we're asking everybody, so what kind of car would you like Santa to bring and put underneath your tree? It doesn't matter. It can be new, old, doesn't matter.
It would be the car that got away, a 71 Volkswagen convertible with canary yellow paint.
Is this a bug?
Yeah, it was a black top with a yellow car. That was our honeymoon car. We would drive around Ted Drew's and pull over if it started to rain, put the top up real quick. But it ended up going, got cast aside for some practical necessity.
Unfortunately, when you get married and you got to start being a responsible adult, things like that happen.
Yeah. But that car was always in the shop. I knew all my mechanics on a first name basis.
Well,
so I've been driving Japanese cars lately, and I forget my mechanics' names, so that's a good thing. What was your name again?
Steve Germano. Well, Kevin, I wanted to have you on, talk a little about big night coming up on Monday night here with the KMOX, the play, the radio play that we do.
Yeah, if you've never heard of it, you're fortunate. It's a tradition that comes along every December, like a recurring shin rash. And it's a holiday tradition where we have a live comedy play where there's a script like 60 pages long, and everybody from sports to news to weather, they get up there and they read their part.
Auto show.
Yeah, and the auto show, you played a zombie one year. That was terrific. We had people.
I've always been typecast as a heavy, so.
But there's live sound effects. There's live organ music, like, you know, "You Stole From My Mother." Da-da! And the play moves along, and, you know, there's live commercials. One year we had that guy who used to say 99.99. He came out and he read his commercial in a high, squeaky voice, and the audience roared laughing, but it wasn't supposed to be funny. So, you know, something always goes wrong, or there's a little bit of, the lion eats the lion tamer, kind of an amateur circus night. But it has a lot of holiday music in it and a Christmas theme. This year's play is about a family getting together for Christmas with their older children and their wives and kids coming into town, and you know how that is. Everything's changed. It's just a recipe for comedy where everybody wants Christmas to be the way it was in 1968, but there's a lot of chaos and change in the air.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, it's funny, we talked about this on the auto show last week about some of your Christmas memories when you're loading up the family truckster and driving to grandma's house, and you know, it's how different it changes when the kids get older. And case in point, you know, my nephew, I mean, he's my godson, you know, always had him at Christmas. Well, now obviously he's older, he's got a girlfriend. So now they're, you know, they have to go to their place and all sorts of stuff. So just kind of changes.
Oh yeah. But, you know, you lose that courier knives feeling, but you know, there's still something about it that keeps us coming back every year to Christmas or the Christmas play. And this year's play, I think, is like the 22nd one or 21st one. We took a year off because my wife was having a baby and we needed a new tub, and the two things combined got me out of it. But it just keeps going on and on, and it's been the Westport Plaza at the Loretta Hilton, now it's at the Sheldon for many years down by the Fox Theater. And you know, people swear by it that I'll come back next year, this is the best one ever. And it's sort of a obscure cult following.
It's a tradition for a lot of folks.
Yeah, and it's sort of an obscure tradition. I wish more people would find it. It's very fun to go to. It's not like going to a Shakespeare play or something. It is a comedy. And Charlie Brennan is the star, and Debbie Monterey will be in there with Mark Reardon and Jane Duker, and, you know, just the whole staff. Carol Daniel plays a nun in this one. She'll wear a habit. And Harry Hamm is the priest, and there's a lot of little kids of some of our staff members. So it'll be interesting. We have the rehearsal the day of, and that's always, you know, like one of those Chinese missile launches that blows up on the launch pad. We just hope, how are we going to get this thing together by curtain time? But somehow it always works out.
It always pulls itself together there at the last minute. It is a lot of fun. I've been lucky enough to be in it a couple of times, and it's always a lot of fun. I know the folks love it, and as I said, it's kind of a tradition.
Yeah, they go there, and everybody, you look out over the audience, and everybody has on their red Christmas sweaters, and you see people you know, and it's a very friendly crowd. Somebody once said, if you were in the hospital on oxygen, you'd want the holiday radio show crowd there to say it's going to be okay, because, you know, they're very, very forgiving.
Well, they may be very forgiving, but I gotta give credit to you, Kevin. I mean, you really put a lot of effort in it. How long does it take you to write this thing?
I usually start worrying about it when the leaves start to turn yellow in October. And you know, write a lot down a lot of ideas in a journal, and then I go up in our attic. We've got an attic bedroom up there with a desk, and my wife thinks I'm writing the whole time, but I'll take a nap on. We have a bed up there that I think my great aunt Florence died on. When you take a nap on that,
you're dead to the world.
Yeah, it's hard to come back to write the play. But
well, that's a
that's my daughter Emily. She's getting ready for a party. She has on the Abominable Snowman sweater. She looks quite lovely.
Not a party.
Oh, nice. So I guess tickets are still available, and folks that want to get tickets, where can they go to do that?
Well, they are for sale online at KMOX.com/holiday, if you like to do that. Or if you're a 20th century person like me, you can pick up the phone and call Metro Tix at 534-1111. And I think they still have, it seats 700, and I think they just have like 200 tickets left as of late last week. It might be fewer now, but it has sold out a few times, but... it'd be great if you could go just to say, hey, I did this, and get to see, you know, sort of the sausage-making process. It'd be like going into your shop and see you putting some stop leak in a radiator, you know?
I don't even know how to answer that, Kevin. I
I remember you did that to me once, didn't I? Don't tell anybody I did this. It's a secret. I said it.
Thanks. Fine. Thanks, Kevin. Thanks. Appreciate that. Now the... My whole credibility is shot now. Thank you.
No, it was just for me because I'm a cheap Irishman. But, yeah, give it a try. I hope, are you going to be there?
Unfortunately, I cannot attend this year. I've got some family obligations this year.
All right. Well,
but
we wish you success.
Well, thank you, Kevin. Thank you so much for coming on and joining us here on the KMOX Auto Show.
All right. Enjoy your show. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Kevin. That's our own Kevin Killeen. Folks, you got to check it out. If you haven't, I know you've heard it on the air because we replay it, but if you haven't been there live, you got to go see it. It's a lot of fun, and there's some things there that obviously doesn't translate to radio that you get to see live, but I can just say, like, 1 year, you know, I don't know. Somehow I had a hula skirt on, but it never stayed on. But anyway, that's a whole nother thing. Anyway, I want to thank you guys for joining us here on the KMOX Auto Show. I want to thank all our guests as well. We're going to be back next week with another big, exciting show. We'll see you then, my friends. Don't forget Brad Choate in the news. He's coming up right around the corner. All sorts of great stuff tonight. Stick around for Johnny Rabbit.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.